my job was to review the books and review the deals that they had coming in. And they was like, hey, if my finance guy says all right, we good. And it just stuck. And I became everybody's finance guy. So then I started going on social media and just teaching facts about, you know, about business and finance that isn't necessarily typical, but I know that the way that I deliver it, people can receive it. And that was the most important thing. And I learned that from coaching. So all those things kind of transpired to, I realized that people trust me, and I believe this is the best way to use my
voice. You're listening to the Bookkeepers Podcast, sponsored by Xero.
I use Xero's accounting and bookkeeping software to manage my clients' accounts, and I love it. If you haven't tried it yet, head over to Xero.com with an X, and you can either start a free 30-day trial or sign up to Xero's partner program to join their amazing community of forward-thinking accountants and bookkeepers.
Hi, and welcome to the Bookkeepers Podcast. I'm Zoe Whitman. I'm here with Stephen Lott from Cloud IT, or Steve the Finance Guy. Hi, Steve.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Hey, Zoe. How are you?
I'm really well. It's really nice to chat with you. I know you and Joe had a massive conversation, and it went on for ages. You had lots to talk about. Tell me, Steve, about what you do.
So I'm a partner at a company called Cloud IT. So I am I'm Steve the Finance Guy. I own an accounting firm. My own accounting firm, KYN Accounting, in tax, and we provide bookkeeping services, and you know all the usual, right, to small business owners. I specialize in entrepreneurs. I'm a college professor, so I teach entrepreneurship at Georgia State University. And that's it. And I'm a serial entrepreneur. And so what we specialize in is really partnering with bookkeepers and accountants to help with the pain points, right, that they may face, that I'm sure we'll talk about.
yeah, definitely. And oh my gosh, you've got so much to do.
It's a day for me. It's nonstop, but I love it. I enjoy it. It's a blessing.
Okay. So you're in your practice, but you're also teaching, and then you've also got Cloud IT, which is a new business, or how long has that been going?
Yeah, so you know what, how I got into it was, I also have a nonprofit, right, that I'm a part of, and it's called FCFE, which is Financial Coaching for Everyone, and it's really based on providing minorities with CFO services, right, like CFO services, people who need them but can't afford them. Right. And so through that, my CFO and the company suggested this company called Cloud IT, because we was like, you know, as busy as I am, I love this part. Right. I love talking to people, but I'm not an accountant. Right. And so I'm not that guy that's going to be behind a computer doing all that stuff. And so she suggested this company. And so Cloud IT is located out of New York, and a lot of the work is based out of India. And so we have got some similarities and just kind of learning, you know, what they do. And I saw the amazing work they were doing. And I said, this company is crazy, right? And then, you know, the entrepreneurial mind kind of got into my head. So then I created an accounting firm, and they became my back end to my whole entire accounting firm. And that's kind of how I got into it. And then I said, you know what? You guys have been so amazing to me. So many more people need to hear about you guys and what you offer. And that's kind of how we got here.
That's amazing. So you're not an accountant by training.
Not an accountant by training. I'm a finance major by training. So I am I love, my job is to look at the present and take you to the future. Yep, that's what I do.
Amazing. And so we talk about outsourcing a lot with our community, because
really,
I think one of the biggest challenges I think we have in the UK is staffing. And we, you know, if you go to any accounting event, that one of the biggest topics is going to be that there aren't any good people out there to hire.
Come on.
And I guess you're experiencing it in the same, or do you, I don't know, do you, I guess, have you ever looked for?
No, so I, you know, so funny, I did a lot of, so prior to me going into the accounting space and owning my firm, I had to do a lot of research, right? Because I saw the value in having one, just because I'm a finance person. So I saw the value in just, I saw the profit margins. I said, yo, this is good. And then because I'm in the space, and everybody kind of knows me for being in the space, I'm always in front of entrepreneurs. I'm always helping entrepreneurs. So they, you know, doing my CFO type work for them, I recognize that they don't have books, they need these books. And so a vertical, if you will, was to just to create an accounting firm. But then I had to find somebody who's going to do the work, because it wasn't going to be me. So I went and we talked and we figured out, and I learned a lot about this company, and they literally did my back end from start to finish, from the onboarding to the, so I had to learn a lot of the pain points that bookkeepers were going through. And most of it was, you know, when you think about a bookkeeper and an accountant, you know, they get so tired because they usually do all the work, and it's very tough for them to work on their business because they're always the one that's in their business. You know, they're always the one because they're the expert, right? And so, and then because I'm always thinking sale, selling businesses, I saw that bookkeepers and CPA firms were the worst businesses to sell. So I saw no exit strategy, right, for it. And so I saw this company, and we can go over the particulars of why I feel this way. But yeah, I 100% had to dig deep and learn a lot about the bookkeeping business and the accounting business.
Yeah. And that's, do you know what, it's so interesting to talk about how you see opportunities as an entrepreneur. Joe and I, you know, we coach, but we're coached as well. And I think one of the important things about being a business owner is always getting coaches and getting outside perspective and seeing it in a different way. And we were having a really good reflect, because I closed my business during the pandemic, and we were having this conversation with our business coach, one of our coaches. And we were talking about this, how Jo sold her practice last year. And we were saying, you know, we're not in the industry every day anymore. I was trying to explain today. I couldn't think of the word. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so disconnected sometimes from the technical part of a business. But then our coach said to us, but the thing is, the value you offer comes from your viewpoint as an entrepreneur and being able to think creatively and make the connection. People don't need you to do the technical. They need you to be the visionary of business.
But they already got the technical. They know the technical. They do that. They do the technical and they sleep. That's the last thing they want to hear about, right? They need to learn how to run a business and you know, and operate as a business. And it starts, in my opinion, it does start with staffing, because that affects scalability. And through my research, what I realized is that most of the best accounting firms, as they scale on their own, like in, especially in the U.S., because it's very expensive to hire in the U.S. because our schools are expensive. So you can't hire no accountant less than $40,000-$50,000 a year, and that cuts dramatically into any profits, especially if they're a qualified person, right? And so you know, that scalability is just not a thing, and that's why you often see people struggle with that. And so and they feel like there is no end, and then when it comes to taking on a new client, they're like, they don't want to do it, like they don't even want to take on clients, right? Because they, especially a client that comes to you and say, you know what, I ain't did nothing in 3 years, they hear that and they get stressed out, like I gotta do 3 years worth of slipping my mind. But anyway,
you've got to go back and you've got to go and do all of that work, which is a project. And you'll think, and because when it's just us in our business, we think I'm the salesperson, I'm the marketing person, I'm the admin person, I'm the bookkeeper or the accountant, I do everything. And I haven't got time to do 3 years of accounts for somebody because I need to do all the other clients' work. Okay. I love that you just you saw the opportunity to staff a team doing something that even wasn't your expertise. I've got so many questions for you about this.
Oh, we talked so much because we were, and we really spoke to the pain point of the bookkeeper. Like, we identified that target. It was so clear, it was so evident. And I really loved her, because she was like speaking to my heart. And I was like, oh my God, yes, you're right.
She's not here. Right, talk to me about, so in term, I've got lots of questions about outsourcing. I'm a long, long time ago in a job, years and years ago, and what feels like a different life, I was sent to India to insource work. So I worked in India, in Chennai, in Southeast. I worked for a big company over here who had outsourced some of their finance function for about 10 years. They sent a team of us out to India to bring the work back. So my job was to go in, learn the process and bring it back to the UK. And what I learned there was that the team there were amazing. They were absolutely amazing. But what they hadn't done was maybe improve the process since 10 years ago. And so I've got questions about due diligence, finding the people, sure. how you manage the relationship. Also, sure. how do you know that your process is up to date as somebody who
isn't I can tell you, no, 100%. So I can tell you exactly, you know, my whole thing, right? So because I don't know, right, my job is to put people in place who do know. So yeah. quality control is the most important thing. But my rate affords me to do so. So what's happening is that, so I clouded charges $2,000 a month for what's called a full seat. So a full seat is someone who works for 160 hours a month, right? Okay. And then so initially I was kind of put off by it, not because of the price, because the price is great, right? But not because of the price, but because, you know, I don't want cheap accounting, right? I have clients, I have people that I have work that we got to do. So I had to learn that the conversion rate of the US dollar as it pertains to India and yeah. and kind of how that looks. So if I pay them 2,000, they're really making 8,000. So then that was like, oh man, you know what? That was now I just created a competitive, a strategic alliance, right? To where in India, they won't get that rate out there, right? And then so here, so now it makes sense. So then the quality of work. So, you know, they're all CPAs, they go through a long, you know, stringent list of, you know, who you talk to, who you interview, you get their resume, and you know, if you're in the industry, you know, who's an accountant and who's not. It's very clear, right? And so it's not even like you, if you're a bookkeeper, you're an accountant and you've been doing this for years, it's very clear. So what I did was I partnered with someone who is a CPA and who is an accountant. And so when it comes to quality control and ensuring things are up to date and right, the right way, that's their job. My job is to bring in business. And I do that pretty well, and so that's kind of how we, that's how I structured it, because I did see that. But I also saw that there are a lot of people who aren't like me. Most of the people that's in this industry are the experts, right? And so they wouldn't have the problem with quality control or getting it right or regulations, because they'll be the one. I call it turning yourself from a doer to a reviewer. Right. Yeah. Right. So everything crosses your desk, you check it off and you send it out to the client. And mm-hmm. that's kind of the flow. Right. And so now you have a system in place. And so that's kind of what I show people.
Nice. So Joe and I have done a bit of research over the years in terms of what happens in the States. And we've worked with a few people, come into the program. And I know the rules are very different depending on where you are in the country. So mm-hmm. all of those intricacies in terms of different rules and regulations, because we have a sales tax called VAT over here.
Absolutely.
And so the guys I work with in India knew everything about VAT law, like more than me.
100%.
And so I guess how do you find people? So, I mean, this is the first, like, how did you even find somebody in the first place? Like your first outsourcer, how did you find that person?
So this is, so Cloud IT, they're a company. They have over 160 accountants, right? Ready to go. So the owner of the company is Sam. So Sam is this like Yoda guy. He's a genius. He's a CPA himself. And so he introduced me, and the reason why I knew they were good is because she was the person who referred to me was a CFO, so she uses them. She'd been using them for 3 years, and so you know I trust her with my life. And so she said, "Listen, this company has been fascinating." So I really got introduced by way, and just like any referral.
Nice.
And then so I wanted to learn more about the business side of it, right? Because that's what I was interested in. So you can do my back end. I'm like, you know, explain to me how this works, Sam. How do you do this and everything else? And so I learned a great deal of really COVID helped this industry a lot. Right. Yeah. And it didn't help very many things, but it definitely helped this particular industry in the sense of it made it cloud based. Right. And so whereas people were starting to be cloud based, COVID kind of like push that thing, right? Like I wish somebody would give me a piece of paper. And so that kind of helped, you know, the industry now, we can get clients all over the world if you know what you're doing, if you completely understand it. And so I recognized that part. And then, so now it was up to me to figure out the system, right? How does the system work? How does it flow? How does it, and they don't, not that I don't have a reason to, but they don't even talk to my clients, right? So as they come in, I have one person who worked for me. Her name is Safadi. I've had multiple people. I love mergers and acquisitions. So they do all of my analysis and, you know, so it's more than just bookkeeping. And then they give a whole, you know, outline of the work. The profit and losses are the best, right? The structure, how you view them, how they structure it, everything works and everything is in your business name. And is, you know, and it's my job to be the quality control person to ensure that the work is correct.
Do your clients know that you outsource work?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. They have to, right. Right. They have to know. Yeah. 100%. And so, and what's funny is, when I first thought about doing this, people were telling me I was going to get pushed back. Right. Nobody wants people in their business. Every business I talk to, like, look, is it done? Right. I think we, as a whole, if we can figure out how to not have a cliche or like a, you know, on what outsourced work is, right? Because remote work is everything, right? Remote work is everywhere. If you gave me work, you wouldn't know where I was in the country, right? You wouldn't know where I was doing it. You wouldn't know. And so when you hire someone, so it's really something I want to break, right? Mm-hmm. Just because of my experience. Now, I can't speak on everybody's experience with outsourcing and what they've been through, and I don't, you know, want to push back on their experience. But there is some good companies. I'm with one, and they do the amazing work.
It's really it's a really difficult one. So, you know, when I went to India, the team I worked with were brilliant at their jobs, worked in really nice offices, clearly really good. But I also know the guy that I spent most of my time with was traveling for like 8 hours on a bus to get to the workplace, and all the money was probably being sent home. So it was like, and I just didn't know anything about life outside of the building. And and I'm like, I really want to know people, and I want to like know my team. So whenever I've had team of my own, I want to have a chat with them and I want to see them in the office.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah,
absolutely. I have to. Like, I'm the same way. When I talk to people, so, you know, we all follow each other on social media. Like, that stuff is important to me, right? This February, I plan on going, not February, it was past February. This November, I plan on going to India for the first time, right? You know what I mean? Like, because it's important to me for me to know the people, right? We spend time talking about Sam and his family, and, you know, we got to know each other personally. You can't have a business and not know the people, right? Because I don't care how much you pay them, they gonna get tired, right? You have to want to work for people. Don't work for the job. And so 100%, whenever we talk, and we have team meetings every morning at 8 a.m., right? So we don't miss a morning. We have team meetings. We go over every account. We learn about what's going on. But before we do that, hey, how's your family doing? You all right? Did you do good? Is your son okay? Now he ain't okay. Now make sure he in bed. Right? You know what I mean? Like it's a relationship. We know each other. But you have to take the time out to and this is not even in remote makes it challenging in general, I think. Right. Yeah. So even if you are in the same states, you know, you could be in a total different state, and you still, if you don't take the time to get to know the person, you still will face those challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I suppose that's one of the benefits of having people who work, you described it as a full seat, someone who's working for you exclusively. Yes,
she's dedicated. Yeah. She knows everything about it. There is no, and then the time difference helps. The time difference helps because from 4:30, so they work from 4:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., which is my time, right? So by the time I wake up, so 4:30 a.m. EST to 1:30 p.m. EST, right? So I wake up at 7, right? 6, 7 a.m. And by the time I wake up and I have that meeting at 8, everything's done. So we're not talking about what they have to do. We're talking about what you did. And that kind of changes the whole paradigm, right, of the structure and the system, because now, and then my businesses are spoiled. Like, I'm a hand holder. So, and that's the other thing I learned about this industry, right, is that, like, you know, because we're so busy, the customer experience is the last thing, right, mm-hmm. In this industry, right? Because not because they don't want to, but because they're just busy. And so, you know, and you almost don't want to hire nobody who's not busy, because you're kind of looking at them with the side eye, like, are you really good? Right. You know what I mean? Like, so being busy is almost like a prerequisite to the hire. And then having bad customer service is just part of the business. Right. You know, so I get things on the 15th. It never misses. Right. You know, as long as I got your documents in, we have everything in. So, you know, those are the systems that I went after to put in place to learn the business of things. Yeah. And cloud IT is just the major force that makes it happen.
And so you said you have no problem finding clients. And one of the biggest questions we get in our community is, how do you find clients? So just for anyone who's listening to this, and
man, they're thinking, hang on a minute, tell you a trick.
He's doing no work. He's doing no client work. All he's doing is finding clients that these people are serving. How are you finding clients?
So I have an advantage. I am Steve the Finance Guy. So I'm known for client. I'm known for entrepreneurs. So people come to me for that. But that's my brand. So I'm very huge in my personal brand.
Hang on. I've got to rewind you then, because how did you become Steve the Finance Guy? Because I think that this, you know, personal brand is such an important part of it.
Yeah. I'm a finance major. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm a finance major. How I started was, I was never into finance ever. So I was a sports trainer for 10 years. I did that for 10 years, but my clientele was affluent. So I had a very affluent based clientele. And so you're not going to keep taking me to $1 million houses to teach your kids how to play basketball. And I'm not going to ask you what you do for a living. Right. And so the more, you know, I'm a probe. So the more I was asking, I found out that the majority of my parents were in sales or finance. And so I went back to school, started over, and I got my finance degree. And so then, you know, people start knowing me for business. And so I realized that I kind of have an obligation for my information, right? Because I knew that the things I knew, people didn't know, especially the minority community, right? And so I really love to be, you know, that value to them. And so to give that information, it was refreshing, hence why I'm a professor. So that was kind of how I got, and then how I got the name was, I had a lot of people who just didn't know me. And so people who had businesses, they were like, hey, listen, if my finance guy say these books are all right, I'm all right. So my job was to review the books and review the deals that they had coming in. And they was like, hey, if my finance guy says it's all right, we good. If my finance guy, and it just stuck, and I became everybody's finance guy. And so then I started going on social media and just teaching facts about, you know, about business and finance that isn't necessarily typical, but I know that the way that I deliver it, people can receive it. And that was the most important thing. And I learned that from coaching. So all those things kind of, you know, transpired to, I realized that people trust me, and I believe this is the best way to use my trust.
Yeah. So, and that's so important, because we talk about, you know, people need to know who you are. They need to like you, they need to trust you, and they need to connect with you on some level. And you know, I expect there are some people who, I'm sure everyone loves you, but I'm just going to say it. There might be some people that aren't your biggest fan, and that's okay.
Man, you know, so funny. I want to say, you know, I want to give the speech about the haters, and I've been blessed. I've been blessed, man. Like, because I just give love. You know what I mean? You know, I'm a Jesus follower, right? And so, and so for me, you know, I think I have a very interesting compilation of truth and grace, right? To where I give my clients the truth, but I have empathy because I know they don't know it, right? And so it's my job to explain difficult concepts in ways that they can understand. So, and I accept that responsibility.
Yeah, I love this. But, you know, and what I really meant by that was not that people don't like you, but that there are going to be people who are for you, and there are other people who would want to learn that information in a different way. So there's a girl in our community, Rebecca Williams, is, as she calls herself, Miss Finance Tutorials. She's on TikTok, on YouTube, and she's amazing. And I expect there's a certain community of people who were like, Rebecca is the person I need to learn this from. Just like there are people who are like, Steve, he's the guy. He's going to teach me everything.
I definitely fit a certain niche, 1,000,000,000%, right? Now that's the truth, right? I definitely fit a certain person who, and the reality is, it's really the person who just want to just get down to it. I don't pull no punches. I don't believe your business is an indictment of you. Right. And most of the time, that's what people think. Right. And so they don't want to really talk about it. And so I try to explain to people that there is no right or wrong in business. It's effective and ineffective. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you have to change the language of decision making, especially in business. So that way, when we look at the numbers, we can see, hey, was this decision you made a effective decision or an ineffective one? And if it's, and that helps the morale of the business owner and helps them be able to not only understand what they did, but they can quickly change the decision. And a lot of times, if it's emotional, it's very tough for them to cope with it, and it's very tough for them to move on and correct it going forward. That's it.
What would your advice be to someone who is new in business, who knows they need to build their personal brand, they know they need to scale their business, and they don't know where to start? Because I think it can be really overwhelming at the beginning. What do you do
first off? It's very overwhelming. So I wouldn't, and I wouldn't even describe it as overwhelming, right? I think being overwhelmed is kind of like knowing you have to do something, but don't think you have the capability to do it. So that creates an overwhelming feeling, right? So I don't think it's overwhelming. So you have to know you can do it and then know you can fulfill it, right? So the advice I would give is to strategize everything. Right. Strategize everything. Put it on the whiteboard. Get it out of your head. Right. You know what I mean? Because when things is just in our head, it's very hard for us to conceptualize. A lot of people struggle with like mental dexterity, if you will. Right. To be able to compartmentalize ideas in their head. So get it out and then recognize that the goal is to scale the sale. Right. And typically, if you treat your business like you want to scale to sell, you don't have to sell. But most of the time, if your business is in position to sell, then you're usually in a good position. Right. And so if you can follow the steps that scales to sell, whatever someone want to buy your business, whatever that looks like, it has to look a certain way. And so if you follow those guidelines, then that helps with the structure that you would need to have an efficient business running. So that's like the easiest advice. I hope that helped.
Yeah, absolutely. Get it out of
I'm like head. The best host. I'm like the best guest ever. I know.
Oh my God. Look, do you know what? I would love to have a chat another time. We'll get Joe involved. And also, I feel like there's so much more we could talk about. But thank you so much for introducing us to the idea of like growing through outsourcing, seeing ourselves as an entrepreneur, just all of the opportunities that come with scaling. It's been really nice to chat to you. I guess people can connect with you as Steve the Finance Guy, but
so you can find me on Steve the Finance Guy Instagram. Anytime anything you type Google, I don't know if I'll come up. I wonder if I'll come up in the UK if I come up as Steve the Finance Guy. I don't know. You have to do it and screenshot it and send it to me and see if my SEO work out there. But if it doesn't, you can go to Cloud IT. So it's www.cloudit-us.com, and you know, schedule a demo, and so you can learn all about it for yourself. I always say experience things for yourself. I'm gonna tell you about my experiences. I can tell you about others, but it's best to experience it for yourself.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been amazing to speak to you, and thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Bookkeepers Podcast. Why not join us in the Six Figure Bookkeepers Club at sixfigurebookkeeper.club or visit our website sixfigurebookkeeper.com.